Continuing Helen Wright's book, Made Whole Through Our Marriage to God.
In a monotonous and deadening reiteration, those in authority asserted that it was deifying Mrs. Eddy to give our leader her rightful place as the one scripturally prophesied to bring the second coming of the Christ. Instead, they systematically sought to humanize her, to make her look entirely ordinary. Insofar as they have succeeded, they have deprived the world of the practical example of her life and Christ-like character, illustrating the coincidence of the human and divine. Error's attempt to separate Mary Baker Eddy from her revelation nearly succeeded. The understanding of what Mary Baker Eddy is as God's messenger has been under siege since 1866. It came under even greater attack after her passing, with the result that Mrs. Eddy is scarcely known today. The insidious way in which Mary Baker Eddy was practically excommunicated from her own church is documented in the closing chapters of my last book, Mary Baker Eddy Reveals Your Divinity. The humanizing and trivializing of Mrs. Eddy and the tide of ingratitude and apathy that followed her departure have obscured her as our way-shower just as effectively as the deification of Jesus obscured him. As a consequence, the wonderful healing ability of Christian Scientists has suffered. The Divinity Course admonishes, quote, "Attacks on the discoverer and founder of Christian Science are attacks on the cause itself. When will you see this and stop these efforts of animal magnetism to destroy us? Who will bear this cross?" Unquote. Mary Baker Eddy tried to prevent this tragedy, this separating of her from her revelation, by teaching her students the importance of seeing her true character, seeing the discoverer and founder of Christian Science as the scripturally prophesied woman who would bring the second coming of the Christ. Seeing our leader correctly and in her rightful place is crucial, because only when we do so can we see ourselves rightly. The following Denver, Colorado news article, starting on page 89 of Miscellany, gives a picture of days I remember when every church was full and overflowing. We even used to go early to get a good seat and pray for the congregation. Quote, "The dedication of the new mother church of the Christian Scientists in Boston is not a matter of interest to that city alone, but to the nation. Not to the nation alone, but to the world. Not to this time alone, but to history. The growth of this form of religious faith has been one of the marvels of the last quarter century. It is, in some respects, the greatest religious phenomenon of all history. That a woman should found a religious movement of international sway, that its followers should number many thousands during her lifetime, that hundreds of great buildings should be filled at every Sunday meeting or on weekdays with devout worshippers, wooed by no eloquence of orator or magnetic ritual. All these things are new, utterly new, in the history of religious expression. The world is enormously richer for this reincarnation of the old, old gospel of on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's the end of the article. Unquote. The incorrect view of our leader has had a devastating effect on our churches and on the healing work. After the leader's leaving, under the withering assault of ecclesiasticism, healing declined, churches emptied, and practitioner lists shriveled. Mrs. Eddy said, "When a student loses the true sense of me and what I do, he is at the threshold of the plunge so many make into darkness, believing that darkness is a greater light." While she was present, her teaching and example prodded grateful students to spend every available moment in the study of science and health, and practicing its teaching on themselves and others. In this way, millions were healed during Mrs. Eddy's sojourn with us. That was a time of great activity in Christian Science, with deep and heartfelt reverence for our leader openly expressed. It's a shame that today the testimonies in our periodicals are lacking in this reverence and gratitude toward our beloved leader who has made this healing truth possible. Quote, "Oh, may we all learn the healing power of a grateful heart. It lights the dark places, revives the drooping courage, and enables its possessor to commune with angels. It enables us to see our brother's face as the face of God. This is the true achievement." Unquote. Mary Baker Eddy's revelation is the death knell to evil and error. The enemy's prime objective and goal has always been to separate her from her revelation. This intent of animal magnetism must be whipped out of the temple. Patience in Tribulation. On page 228 of Miscellaneous Documents Relating to Christian Science is an article by Carolyn D. Noyes stating, quote, "The great red dragon, alluded to in the 12th chapter of Revelation, typifies the mental malpractice or malicious animal magnetism directed against Mary Baker Eddy and her works, and against her students. It explains something of the difficulties which she and they had to overcome." Unquote. For Mrs. Eddy, every forward step was cross-bearing and crucifixion, but she knew the foundation stone that had been rejected was love, and that we can build on none other. Unquote. Mary Baker Eddy suffered great privations. Quote, "God took away everything from me," she said. "I had nothing to cling to materially. I did not understand science and health when I wrote it. I would write just as fast as I could. I would have to do so, could not help it. The desire to write would begin in the morning and leave in the afternoon. I would not stop for lunch when writing." The second coming of the Christ could come through Mary Baker Eddy because she was willing to give up all for the Christ. Her father told her that if she disgraced the family with Christian Science, she could never darken his door again. Her sister would not speak to her. And though she loved them dearly, she gave them all up to faithfully pursue the truth. No one since Christ Jesus has so faithfully remained loyal to infinite good in spite of the world's hatred. Mrs. Eddy was very poor in the early days, when she gave all her time without pay to receiving, recording, and demonstrating the practical truths of Christian Science. When she was sometimes hungry, there'd be a knock at the door. She would see no one, but there would be a loaf of bread or some other needed supply on the steps. In those days, the fixedness of mortal illusions and the human hatred of truth caused the world to reject Mrs. Eddy's great spiritual revelation. But slowly, in spite of the eons of false education and material views, humanity's response became more like an elephant learning to dance. The circus and the sideshow of mortal mind caused continual distraction. Nevertheless, steady progress was made as long as Mrs. Eddy was here to handle animal magnetism, and while a proper view of her was maintained by her students and her church. This is what the remnant, which is very small and feeble, is trying today to restore. The uses of adversity. There can be no doubt that our leader passed through troughs of despair. Even though she knew there was no desire she could hope for from the infinitesimal to the infinite that was not to be found within herself. Mrs. Eddy, in voicing the revelations that came from God, was constantly misquoted to the hindrance of her work. The manuscript would be mislaid. Wrong days and dates for appointments and other like troubles had to be met. The enemy stood ready to oppose the most spiritual revelations and the use for which God intended them. To be off guard meant disaster. The cares were endless. Just think of the time Dr. Eddy was accused of murdering Mr. Spofford, an accusation hatched by envious students to hurt Mrs. Eddy. Think of the 3 months of living hell that ordeal must have caused. It was, no doubt, a cause of Dr. Eddy's early death. Only because of Mrs. Eddy's obedience to God could the work have been accomplished. In the years that Dr. Eddy was with her, she and Dr. Eddy were ever the watchman on the wall. They stood alone against the resisting world and the wedges evil tried to drive in as it barreled down upon them in an effort to disturb and destroy the divine work. It cost sleepless nights and harrowing days to guard against the enemy in this priceless labor for Christian Science. Mrs. Eddy knew that her mission was wholly apart from the things of sense, and that it presented only those things that belong alone to God. Writing in 1893, she said, "The past 3 years of my life have been, if known, a continual martyrdom. But I am not afraid. As my day is, so shall my strength be." Unquote. She could as accurately have said the past quarter of a century had been a continual martyrdom. While at Pleasant View, her beloved home, she said to Henrietta Chanfrau, "Henrietta, if I ever go away from here to another house, it will be delivered up to my enemies." But no sacrifice was too great for Mrs. Eddy. So full, so great was her love for poor, suffering humanity, that in her 87th year, she did leave dear Pleasant View to leap into the crucible of affliction. After her experience with newspapers during the Next Friends suit, seeing the critical need for responsible journalism, she returned to Boston to establish the Christian Science Monitor. There, in Boston, as she had foreseen, she was delivered up to her enemies, delivered to those who were on the watch, waiting for her to die so they could take over the flourishing and highly respected worldwide Christian Science movement. Sweet are the uses of adversity. The gospel of Christ was a gospel of glory that could not have been given except through suffering. Take his cup, darling, drink, and give thanks. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Unquote. Tribulation, his cup, awakens the sinner from his dream of sin and hastens his marriage to infinite God, good. But enough light shone across the darkness of the centuries so that Mary Baker Eddy in the second coming of the Christ could explain and demonstrate how Jesus did his mighty works. When the great revelation of life in and of spirit came to her, she began where Jesus left off, building on his foundations. Quote, "Christian Science brings the glories of eternity, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Unquote. Like Jesus, Mrs. Eddy rent the veil that hides from us our true identity, our divinity. In miscellaneous writings we read, "The Star of Bethlehem is the Star of Boston, high in the zenith of truth's domain that looketh down on the long night of human beliefs to pierce the darkness and melt the dawn." In miscellany, we have the hopeful message, "At the present time, the Bethlehem Star looks down upon the long night of materialism, material religion, material medicine, a material world, and it shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But the day will dawn, and the day star will appear, lighting the gloom, guiding the steps of progress from molecule and mortals outward and upward in the scale of being." Unquote. Mrs. Eddy makes clear she fulfilled scriptural prophecy. One cannot separate the revelations from the revelator. Through Mary Baker Eddy's writings, we get a glimpse into the true nature of the woman through whom God has given the world the full and final revelation of the Christ that Jesus personified. Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy show us what is possible to the human in the way of divine character, and that true humanhood is sinless. Mrs. Eddy was urgent that we see her rightful place. In no other way can we see our rightful place. We are grateful to the father of R. Conwell Shoup, who in the early 1930s persuaded the Christian Science Board of Directors to appoint a committee of editors to search the archives, quote, "for what Mrs. Eddy thought herself to be," unquote. This committee of six included three members who were positive Mrs. Eddy was not the prophesied woman of the apocalypse, and three who were positive she was. After several years of researching all material available, all six were convinced that Mrs. Eddy did consider herself to be the woman. They presented the board with 57 pages of written evidence demonstrating this fact. In an article in the Journal and in the June 5th Sentinel, these 57 pages were reduced to the 6 points, which were later printed in a pamphlet entitled Mrs. Eddy's Place. This pamphlet was originally published by the Christian Science Publishing Society and is now available from Equus Institute. The author of this book has made several unsuccessful attempts to obtain a copy of the original 57 pages, but actually we don't need them. Mary Baker Eddy makes her place in biblical prophecy plain in her writings. For instance, 1. In her Science and Health chapter, The Apocalypse, the scriptural note states, "The time is at hand." On page 546, she tells us, "Genesis and the Apocalypse contain the deep divinity of the Bible. Genesis, because it tells us that all has already been made, and it is perfect. And the Apocalypse, because it tells of the prophesied woman and of the little book, which we know is Science and Health." Page 559 states that Revelation's 12th chapter concerning the woman has a special suggestiveness in connection with the 19th century. Page 560, in the opening of the sixth seal, typical of 6,000 years since Adam, the distinctive feature has reference to the present age. Page 560 bears the marginal heading, "True Estimate of God's Messenger," another reference to Mary Baker Eddy. Here we are told how important it is to have a right estimate of, quote, "anyone whom God has appointed to voice his word," and that, without a correct sense of its highest visible idea, Mary Baker Eddy, we can never understand the divine principle, unquote. The divine principle that Revelation told her we are. Persecuting those who voice the divine idea can hide this idea, she tells us. 6. Page 561 informs us, "The Revelator saw also the spiritual idea as a woman clothed in light, a bride. The hour is come, the bride, word, Mary Baker Eddy's writings, is adorned. Mary Baker Eddy conceived man in the idea of God." 7. This bride, word, comes from heaven, harmony, the reign of spirit, and is wedded to the Lamb of love, Jesus' teachings. The bride is the word, individually available in all its parts to all. Hence it alone germinates the tree of life in each individual consciousness, bearing its 12 manner of fruits, conceiving man, generic man, in the idea of God. Mrs. Eddy tells us that in divine revelation, material and corporeal selfhood disappear, and the spiritual idea is understood. 8. The woman in the Apocalypse symbolizes generic man, the spiritual idea of God. Generic man is God, since principle and its idea is one, and this one is God. Mrs. Eddy states that this immaculate idea, represented first by man, Jesus, and according to the Revelator, last by woman, Mary Baker Eddy, will baptize with fire, and the fiery baptism will burn up the chaff of error with the fervent heat of truth and love, melting and purifying even the gold of human character. 9. Mary Baker Eddy further identifies herself as the woman when she says, "Also, the spiritual idea is typified by a woman in travail, waiting to be delivered of her sweet promise, but remembering no more her sorrow, for joy that the birth goes on. For great is the idea, and the travail portentous." 10. She identifies herself again on page 118 when she speaks of Jesus' parable of the woman who hid the leaven in 3 measures of meal and asks, "Did not this parable point to a moral with a prophecy, foretelling the second appearing in the flesh of the Christ truth, hidden in sacred secrecy from the visible world? The Christ truth came with the little book, Science and Health, prophesied by Jesus to St. John. 11. In Miscellany, page 346, Mary Baker Eddy again identifies herself as the woman when she tells us, "The manhood and womanhood of God have already been revealed through Christ Jesus and Christian Science," with which the woman, Mary Baker Eddy, is one, his two witnesses. 12. She further identifies herself with every picture in her book, Christ and Christmas. Christ and Christmas represents the various editions of science and health, from the first to the last. It presents the orderly process by which Christian Science is unfolded, first to Mrs. Eddy's consciousness, and then through her to the human consciousness. Alice Orgain states, "The progressive revisions of science and health were interwoven into the seamless vesture of truth, which revisions, as gathered into a whole in our last edition, identify Mrs. Eddy as the adorned bride, or word that has progressed to the city of our God, which has no boundary nor limit. For the bride is the adorned, completed word, and nothing short of the boundless word is the second scroll, the message of womanhood." Unquote. 13. When Mrs. Eddy writes, "Those who look for me in person or elsewhere than my writings lose me instead of find me," she directly identifies herself with the message of the woman, and hence with the woman herself. The destiny of the little book. Mrs. Eddy knew that the time was coming, and is not far off, when all potentates, together with every mortal man and woman within their domain, shall bow before the little book, whose right foot is set upon the sea, and whose left foot is on the earth, and whose hands compass the universe. Why did she know this? Because it is the word of God, the mind, spirit, and soul of man, of you. Therefore, while it would be wonderful to have the 57 pages supporting its scribe scriptural mandate, we actually have in her own published writings all the facts needed to identify her as fulfilling the prophecy of the woman of the apocalypse. Mrs. Eddy did not just symbolize the God-crowned woman. Her revealing consciousness was that God-crowned woman. She did not symbolize the mighty angel in Revelation. She was that mighty angel that had in its hand a little book. Her role was like that of Jesus. Jesus did not symbolize the man the prophets foretold as born in Bethlehem of a virgin. He was that man, and he said so plainly, as when he told the man healed of blindness, regarding the Son of God, quote, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee," unquote. Mary Baker Eddy's place, like that of Jesus, was divinely ordained from the beginning. No one could take her place. No one else could have written the book. It was sealed until the woman wrote it. In the textbook, chapter 6, titled Science, Theology, and Medicine, the first three pages tell us of her great discovery of the Christ science, or the laws of life, truth, and love. Quote, "In following the leadings of scientific revelation," she states, "the Bible was my only textbook. The scriptures were illumined. Reason and revelation were reconciled, and afterwards the truth of Christian Science was demonstrated. No human pen nor tongue taught me the science contained in this book, Science and Health, and neither tongue nor pen can overthrow it," unquote. On page 147 we read, "Although this volume contains the complete science of mind healing, never believe that you can absorb the whole meaning of the science by a simple perusal of this book. The book needs to be studied, and the demonstration of the rules of scientific healing will plant you firmly on the spiritual groundwork of Christian Science. This proof lifts you high above the perishing fossils of theories already antiquated, and enables you to grasp the spiritual facts of being hitherto unattained and seemingly dim." In Mrs. Eddy's book, Christ and Christmas, the poems and paintings tell the story of Mrs. Eddy's life, the life of the one lone brave star that shone o'er the grim night of chaos. In picture number one, we find the Star of Bethlehem. This Star of Bethlehem is the Star of Boston, high in the zenith of truth's domain, that looketh down on the long night of human beliefs to pierce the darkness and melt the dawn. Unquote. Regarding Christ and Christmas, Mrs. Eddy said, "This poem and its illustrations are the same as my other works on Christian Science, fresh from the spirit of inspiration. Those who criticize them seem to know neither me nor the divine principle that is revealing itself to this age." Unquote. God's two witnesses. Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy were God's two witnesses. In the vision of Zechariah, a discerning spiritual description of these two witnesses is given. The scene is made of gold, a symbol of God. A candlestick with a bowl on top is surrounded by seven lamps and seven pipes. On either side are two olive trees which empty golden oil out of themselves. We are told that the olive trees are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth. The two witnesses, which are the two olive trees, are again seen in Revelation. Daniel also saw the two anointed ones. He tells us, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood another two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river." In Revelation, the two anointed ones, Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy, are seen as the tree of life, one on each side of the river, offering us salvation as a gift and not a labor. Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This truth is Christian Science. Unquote. Science and Health teaches us that God's creation is complete. After infinite good created everything, there was nothing left that needed to be created. From then on, everything was revelation. This was certainly true of God's two witnesses, Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy. Scripture tells us their place in the divine plan existed from the beginning. It also describes mankind's millennia of preparation before Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy could appear to human consciousness to unfold their revelation. Peter recognized Jesus' eternal God-being when he said, "Thou art the Christ." We must see as Peter saw. See each other as God in disguise, as God appearing as individual being without beginning or end. This was true of Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy, and it is true of us all when correctly seen. Jesus and Mrs. Eddy were our great examples. What is true of them is equally true of you and me in reality. When we fail to see Jesus' place and Mary Baker Eddy's place in divine love, which is also our place, we shut ourselves out from the light that Scripture and Mrs. Eddy's writings shed on humanity. In science, each has always had all. The kingdom is within each of us. Consider what Scripture has to tell us about these way-showers. The woman of Samaria at the well discerned who Jesus was and asked, "Is not this the Christ?" When Jesus asked the man born blind whom he had healed, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" The man answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus told him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." In the second coming of the Christ, Mrs. Eddy could have answered as Jesus answered, "He that correctly seeth me, seeth him that sent me." Prophecies concerning Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy are found throughout the Bible. In Matthew, we find the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In Genesis, we read, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will give thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." This certainly fits what both Jesus and Mrs. Eddy were called upon to do. This is also what we are called upon to do. Many passages tell us of Mary Baker Eddy's work on earth. Genesis continues, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet, until Shiloh, home, heaven, come, and unto him Mary Baker Eddy's work on earth, shall a gathering of the people be. Micah states, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Because of the nature of their holy work on earth, Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy are presented together in a number of prophecies. Christ Jesus himself prophesied that the Comforter, the writings and life work of Mary Baker Eddy, which is the Holy Ghost science, shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto thee. Thus in Isaiah we read, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. We see that this prophecy of Jesus also foretells of Mary Baker Eddy, who brought the second coming of the Christ to open our eyes and lead us out of our imprisonment in the illusion of matter. To see God's two witnesses rightly, we must see from divine love's point of view. Mortal minds saw Jesus only as a carpenter's son, not the Son of God. It saw Mary Baker Eddy only as the daughter of a New England farmer, and not as one with God, having the mind of God. When Jesus read from the book of Isaiah, see Luke 4, concerning the prophecy of his coming, he said, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Mrs. Eddy could have said the same regarding the many prophecies in scripture concerning her. She did not publicly say these things in her time because she would have been crucified. There was still such resistance to her and her mission. Jeremiah saw rightly when he said, In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem, home, heaven, shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby she shall be called, namely, the Lord our righteousness. The robes of heaven are righteousness. Jeremiah prophesied, The Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man, unquote, shall include all the teachings of Christ Jesus. Mary Baker Eddy tells us, The impersonation of the spiritual idea had a brief history in the earthly life of our Master, but of his kingdom there shall be no end. For Christ, God's idea, will eventually rule all nations and peoples imperatively, absolutely, finally, with divine science. This immaculate idea, represented first by man, and, according to the Revelator, last by woman, will baptize with fire. And the fiery baptism will burn up the chaff of error with the fervent heat of truth and love, melting and purifying even the gold of human character. In John 14:16, Jesus promised, I will pray the Father, mind, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Mrs. Eddy explains, This Comforter I understand to be divine science. Love fulfills the law of Christian science, and nothing short of this divine principle understood and demonstrated can furnish the vision of the apocalypse, open the seven seals of error with truth, or uncover the myriad illusions of sin, sickness, and death. Under the supremacy of spirit, it will be seen and acknowledged that matter must disappear. Unquote. Jesus' revelation to St. John unfolds an interesting feature in the account of the woman God-crowned. A crown signifies rulership. Here it represents rulership over the entire world. This woman symbolizes generic man, the collective reflection of God. Has God sent Jesus to present the Christ, the idea of God that is one with principle? So God sent woman to present the generic man of infinite goods creating. The prophesied woman, as God's messenger, brought forth a man-child, a book, science and health, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. What do these words mean? Simply that this book will teach us how to make ourselves the Son of God, how to make ourselves whole, by teaching us that our own mind is God and therefore has sovereign power to think and act rightly. The divine mind that is our mind being all can only unfold itself as itself to itself. This is our true selfhood, our Christ selfhood that is truth. The little book gives us the knowledge of God and God's law. And when we are living from the divine standpoint, we are the divine law. Divine law constitutes man, and, as Mrs. Eddy tells us in the first edition, it is the operation of the principle you are. What is written in the little book will be realized as divine law, and so rule all nations, all states of thought, just as the law of gravity rules imperatively, absolutely, finally, with the mind of God, infinite good. Truth's final appearing. The second appearing of Jesus is unquestionably the spiritual advent of the advancing idea of God as in Christian Science, unquote. But the scripturally prophesied God-crowned woman, the mighty angel that brought the little book, had to come in the flesh, just as the prophesied virgin who gave birth to Jesus had to come in the flesh. And the prophesied Jesus had to come in the flesh, or what good would they have done suffering humanity seeking hope in a world of hurt? There had to be a mediator between spirit and the flesh. Every Christian Scientist should clearly understand that if Mary Baker Eddy is not the woman of the apocalypse, then Christian Science is not the final appearing of the Christ truth. But Jesus and the prophets foretold and prophesied the coming of the woman of the apocalypse, which would reveal to us our marriage to God, and this scriptural prophecy has come to pass. In Numbers, Moses said, "Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, then all would know who it was walked among us in the 19th century and the first decade of the 20th. The book of Revelation could only be understood after the appearing of Mary Baker Eddy. The prophecy of the woman of the apocalypse could only be understood after Mary Baker Eddy had fulfilled Jesus' prophecy and the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets concerning her. There is no way it could have been understood until she appeared and brought the second coming of the Christ. Chapters 14, 15, 16 of St. John's Gospel, telling of the Comforter that Jesus promised, could not be understood until Mary Baker Eddy came and brought the Comforter, the second coming of the Christ. Although not fully understood, these prophecies, like those foretelling the advent of Jesus, were vitally important. The spiritually endowed prophets, the faithful servants of God, foresaw and so clearly described God's two anointed ones that when these anointed ones did appear, the people were forced to recognize them. Think of how Jesus leaned on the testimony of the prophets who foretold his coming. The question may be asked, when Jesus walked to Emmaus with his disciples, would they have finally recognized him if he had not recalled to them all that the faithful, spiritual-minded prophets had foretold of him? Of his virgin birth, his rejection, crucifixion, and resurrection. Our beloved leader saw that this recognition of herself in relation to biblical prophecy was essential as well. A stirring parallel is related in the We Knew Mary Baker Eddy series, Volume 2, entitled An Intimate Picture of Our Leader's Final Class. Judge Hannah got up, and it was one of the most heart-rending things I have ever heard in my life, as he said, "Mother, let me tell you this. Sometimes all the machinations of evil that are conceivable to the human mind seem to be hurled at us, and sometimes for days the world seems black. Every argument that the ingenuity of evil can suggest whispers trying to hide your mission, and the light returns only when we see you as you are, the revelator of this truth." Others spoke on the same line. It was the most beautiful thing, and you see, that had to be brought out. She had to be acknowledged, and yet while they were speaking, you have never seen such humility, such self-effacement in your life. And then she said, according to my recollection, "My dear children, if you had not seen it, I should have had to teach you this, just as Jesus had to teach those on the way to Emmaus. I could not have avoided telling you that when my students become blinded to me, as the one through whom truth has come in this age, they go straight down. I would have had to tell you." Unquote. The present edition says they miss the path, but the original says they go straight down. Chapter 12. Go ye into all the world. It is critically important that we see and understand Mary Baker Eddy's rightful place. Even if the estoppels in the manual were obeyed, and even if students acknowledged that the woman in the Apocalypse prefigured Mrs. Eddy's writings, bringing the second coming of the Christ, this would not be sufficient to really give Mrs. Eddy her rightful place. Mary Baker Eddy lived the human and divine coincidence. She made the word flesh with her unfailing spiritual perspective and her unswerving reliance on infinite good. One who knew her well states, "In her presence, I was always aware of her holy calling. As one looked at her countenance, alight with spiritual radiance, one felt oneself in the presence of one inspired by God." Unquote. A reporter wrote, "On the evening that I first met Mrs. Eddy, I went to her peculiarly fatigued. I came away in a state of exhilaration and energy that made me feel I could have walked any conceivable distance. I have met Mrs. Eddy many times since then, and always with this same experience repeated." Unquote. Many students have provided invaluable insights into the life of one of the most remarkable women who ever lived, as they tell of the divine guidance she received in the establishment of her church, her daily affairs, and in the healing work she performed. Quote, "Mrs. Eddy was the healing friend of all mankind because of a spiritual purity and selflessness of motivation, which ennobled all she did, making it definitely and infinitely wise, enabling her to demonstrate that the supposition that the laws of matter control man is as erroneous as it would be to say that figures govern numbers." Accepting Mrs. Eddy's revelation. The only way we can really see Mrs. Eddy's position is as we accept her revelation point by point as coming direct from God and learn how to practice it. As Christian Science practitioners, we may be helped by knowing that it is what we're reading in the textbook and the Bible that is giving the treatment. That is, if we believe what we read. Often, it is a great help to a patient struggling with a belief of disease or sin to be told how the author of Science and Health regarded her book. It is important that the patient read the textbook with the knowledge that it is inspired, that it is revelation direct from God. Doing so, he will be more expectant of hearing God's word, of laying hold of the spiritual idea that will destroy the error which in belief is causing him to suffer. Conviction is necessary in order to free the human thought from self-imposed materiality and bondage. Quote, "When the reader is convinced that Science and Health was written by God's witness, whose consciousness was a fountain of life, filled with the majesty of divine anointing, graced with a wisdom freshly drawn from the wells of salvation, and springing forth in peaceful, persistent strength," unquote, he will have confidence and expect healing.